Today, with the help of the Holy Spirit, we are going to bring to an end our sermon series entitled Real Disciples. And today I actually put a subtitle on there, right? Real Disciples and How We Are Going to Do It. Amen. And I pray that this series has been as much of a blessing to you as it's been to me. A couple of weeks ago, I stood here and told the congregation that we are entering into a corporate fast starting midnight, December 29th. Amen. December 29th, which is basically Monday morning, and it will end 12 midnight here at Growth Temple, January 1st at the Watch Night service. It is a three-day fast. And for our mature saints, and when I say mature, don't be offended. I'm just saying people that are used to fasting, we will be having for 3 days nothing but water. Nothing but water. For those of you mature saints that take meds, you can have some fruit before those meds, but you're expected to fast. Other than that, mature saints are only to have water. And I just want to go ahead and say this, over-the-counter meds don't require food. Because we become survivors in the fast, amen? Well, you know what he did say, if I'm taking medicine, I can have some fruit. Now everybody from Growth going to be buying up all the Tylenol. Amen. For our saints that aren't really familiar with fasting, or you truly know at this point in time, you might not make it through a fast consisting only of water, then you can have what's commonly known as the Daniel fast. Now I'm gonna tell you about this Daniel fast because we've learned to run game with the Daniel fast. Amen. So I'm gonna talk about my wife, amen. Because I'm used to the couch. Clint said, here you go, getting in trouble. Don't be making pots of vegetable soup. Talking about ain't nothing in there but vegetables. Amen. My wife's got a gourmet recipe for vegetable soup that only comes out one time in the year when we're fasting. Amen. Don't be running around here talking about it's 100% fruit juice. No, you can have vegetables, fruit, and water. Some of you think you're slick, and I feel it in the spirit. You cannot have flavored water. Somebody just went, amen. Straight water, amen. And for everyone involved, no television, no social media, no drinking, no drugs, and no three-letter word. I got babies in the room. No three-letter word. Amen? Now here's the thing, my Donna, because I thought about you. If the only TV that we are allowed to watch is sermons. YouTube, sermons. That's it. The only music that you are allowed to listen to is music about Jesus. Amen? And 3 days doesn't seem like a long time till halfway through the first day. And this is going to be, the next 3 days, there's going to be some of the greatest sales that you've ever seen at your favorite fast food restaurant, and you can't have it. Amen? Let me go ahead and bless you. Don't break the fast and say, I'll just add another day to mine. No. This is a corporate fast to be entered into together and to be broken together. Amen. The fast, as every fast, no matter how short or long, it should have a reason. This fast has a reason. It has an agenda, and the agenda has a few goals connected to it. Corporate fasting brings a church into deeper unity, heightens sensitivity to the Holy Spirit for divine guidance. It fosters dependence on God for breakthroughs and aligns the body of Christ with his purpose for revival, missions, or specific needs. Corporate prayer and fasting refer to the collective practice of a group of believers coming together to seek God through prayer and abstaining from food or certain activities. This practice is rooted in the biblical tradition of seeking divine intervention, divine guidance, and spiritual renewal. It is often employed during times of crisis, decision-making, or when seeking a deeper relationship with God. Growth Temple has some serious needs and some as equally serious goals. Reasons that we are fasting collectively, okay? One, for unity. For unity. It doesn't matter how big this body grows to, if there is no unity, there will be destruction. Two, I put them on a thing, they should be on the screen. Two, awesome church growth. Awesome church growth. And here's the hit. I want you to catch this. When you're praying about the church growth of Growth Temple, I don't want you to pray that the building just fills up. Pray that the building fills up with people who know they need Jesus and have a desire, a hunger, a fire to be at one with God and to serve him with their life. Amen? Can I make it plainer? We want every drug dealer, every drug addict, every stripper, every prostitute, every gang member to walk through these doors saying, God, if it's for me, let me have it. Amen. We're not pressed about, and don't trip. I ain't mad at the doctors and the lawyers. They can come too. But see, I understand the mission. I understand the mission for this ministry, and it is to take a generation or generations of people that have messed up, that have been thrown out like the garbage, that have been forgotten about, that have given up on themselves, and to bring them into the presence of a living God so that they can hear, I love you too. Amen. Yeah. The third thing that we're fasting for is the congregation truly growing in the word of God. Not just coming to church and saying that you saved, but you can actually sit down and have a responsible, intelligent conversation about the word of God because you study to show yourself approved. You understand? Not by your pastor, but unto God. You understand what I'm saying to you? The fourth thing that we are fasting for is complete supernatural financial turnaround. Supernatural. I'm talking about financial turnaround that people can't explain. You just have a John moment where you just says, it is Jesus. It has to be the Lord. The fifth thing that we are fasting for corporately is all ministries that are a part of Growth Temple Ministry operating at their optimum level. Amen. So whether it's single and saved, risen life, about that life Bible study in his presence, the prayer ministry, whatever it is, people are leaving that auxiliary fed. Amen. Now, the Bible provides numerous examples of corporate prayer and fasting. In the Old Testament, the Israelites often engaged in these practices during times of national distress or repentance. One notable instance is found in the book of Joel, chapter 2, verse number 15, where the prophet calls for a sacred assembly. And he says, blow the trumpet in Zion, consecrate a fast, proclaim a sacred assembly. This call to collective repentance and seeking God's mercy underscores the communal aspect of fasting and prayer. In the New Testament, the early church also practiced corporate prayer and fasting. In the book of Acts, chapter 13, verses 2 through 3, the church at Antioch fasted and prayed before sending Barnabas and Saul for missionary work. You'll see it says, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So after they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and then sent them off. Amen. This passage highlights the role of corporate fasting and prayer in discerning God's will for commissioning leaders for ministry. Going forward, we bless God. We've got some awesome new leaders in some of our spots that haven't had consistency, and then some of our spots that just haven't had leadership in a very long time. But we've got some leaders now that I believe that are called by the Spirit of God. Amen. And every ministry going forth from now on out will only be filled through fasting and prayer. That's the only way we know that we have the right people for the right decisions. Let me show you a God moment. I was writing down the other night, how many ministries this ministry had. And I asked my wife, I said, how many you think we got? And she said, 8. Nah, I'm going to say 9. And then Kevin came over Friday night, and we kicked it till about, 1:30. And I said, how many ministries do you think that we have? And he said, I'm going to say 9. But the reality was, we have 18 ministries connected to this church. 18 ministries. Amen. And going forward, they will all be filled through fasting and praying. And so here's what was powerful. So I had every ministry written down on a piece of paper, right? And I had the name of the director over the ministry, okay? And the only one that I didn't have was children's church ministry. And as I was talking to Miriam, I said, this is the only one that I don't have a director for, right? All of these ministries, and this is the only one without a name. And Miriam, she's like, well, God's going to take care of it. And she walks around to her side of the bed and picks up the phone. Amen. And the woman of God, now, I call you Lola. Is that right? Okay. Lola had texted Miriam and said, if it is still available, I have prayed about it, and I will take it on. Here's what's crazy. She was sending the text as we was talking about it. You can't make this stuff up. You understand what I'm saying to you? And I said, she said, well, that's taken care of. And I said, what are you talking about? Because, you know, I'm like, what are you talking about? And she says, Lola just texted. Here it is. She said it. She just got done praying, and she feels led to do it if it's still open. See, that's when you know it's a kingdom moment. Amen? So now, I want to get back to the word. While we are on this fast, there are some things that I want to warn you about that Jesus himself felt necessary to warn the disciples about. Matthew chapter 6, verses 16 through 18, the New Living Translation, it says, and when you fast, this is Jesus wrapping himself, okay? And when you fast, don't make it obvious as the hypocrites do. For they try to look miserable and disheveled. So people will admire them for their fasting. I tell you the truth, that is the only reward they will ever get. But when you fast, he continues, but when you fast, comb your hair, wash your face. I don't know why, but something came to mind, and I said, Jesus, you should have told him and brush your teeth. That no one will notice that you are fasting except your Father, who knows what you do in private, and your Father who sees everything will reward you. So Jesus is saying, listen, if you go about making yourself look like you're really going through it, you're really having a troubling time, this fast is really kicking my butt, you know, all of that. And the people come around and they say something like, that's just so deep that you fast. And I love your relationship with God. God said, that's all you get. Let that pay your bill. Huh? Let that give you some peace. Amen. So Jesus says to be fasting to be seen. Don't be fasting to be seen. Don't be doing things that will make people ask you, are you okay? Or what's the problem? And you know, we've all been guilty of it, especially as babes in Christ. Ain't nothing going on. I'm just fasting. That's clout chasing. Amen. Yeah, looking all pitiful. You know, you go and sit in the cafe during lunch after you done told everybody you fasting, and they like, you sure you don't want nothing? No. Hey, I admire you because you strong in your faith, but I couldn't do it. That's all you get. Jesus said, that's all you get. You understand? For clout chasing, you just get the clout, right? And when people tell you that you deep for fasting, when people say they proud of you for fasting, when people begin to admire you because you fast, God says in his word, that applause, that a boy, I'm with you, girl, all of that, that's all you get. Since you was trying to impress man, you get your blessings from man. Now, in the New King James Version, this very verse is a lot alike, except for one major word, and the word is openly. Jesus says in Matthew 6:18, the New King James Version, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father sees in secret what he sees in secret will reward you openly. Did you catch that last word? Openly. Huh? You have such a private relationship with God that it's so deep that people might not see that you're always praying. They might not see that you're always reading your Bible, and they might not know that you're fasting, but the relationship is undeniable because God will bless you in the middle of the hell that's all around you so powerfully that even your haters have to acknowledge that it could have only been the Lord. That's why there's some people in your lives that's mad because you still here, that you still in your right mind. After all they done spoke over your life, after every hardship they seen come your way, you have the audacity to still be here. And you ain't here, you ain't just here, you know, you good, you better than good, because while they was hating, you was praying, and while they was gossiping, you were praying, and while they were counting you out, you were fasting. They were coming for you publicly, but you was going to God privately, and some of you know what David was talking about when he said, you prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies, you anoint my head with oil, and my cup runs over. They're praying for my destruction, but my cup is running over. Anybody know something about that? That despite all the hating that's coming your way, God still has you elevating right before their eyes, and they're trying to figure out, how are you still doing so well? How are you still in your right mind? How do you still have a smile on your face? Because baby, in the secret place. Woo! There's something about the secret place of God that he don't mind letting my haters know he's on my side. Oh, God. Let me get back to task, because the next 3 days are going to be critical. We are fasting for the next 3 days to see Growth Temple Ministries explode if the Lord allows us to see 2026. So again, corporate fasting is when believers come together for a specific goal, which is seeking revival, repentance, and breakthrough. Fasting, what it can do is it can promote togetherness, solidarity, and spiritual synergy among Christians, enhancing the effectiveness of their prayers and requests to God. Did you catch that word? Spiritual synergy. In simple words, synergy is when the combined effort or two or more people create a result that is greater than the sum of what they could have achieved on their own. So there is about to be a Christian synergy in this peace, to where we come together in this fast and we do something incredible for the kingdom's sake that we could not have done on our own. Lord have mercy. Another way to put it is, the whole is greater than the part. Think of it as teamwork, where different people work together so effectively that their combined output is much better or more powerful than if they worked separately. In other words, if I just put it real plain, there's power in numbers. Time. The book of Joel, chapter 1, we don't have time to read it all, but just to give a quick summary, there has been a devastating locust plague and drought that has destroyed Judah's crops, Judah's vineyards and fields, signaling an unprecedented judgment and the day of the Lord. Now let me do some teaching. Amen. The expression "day of the Lord" first appeared in the prophecy of Amos. But so I want you to get this, because this is, God didn't just do it. God didn't just come after him, right? See, I say this all the time. The car don't just break down. The car was giving you signals and warnings that something is off, something is wrong, right? When Judah begins and Jerusalem begins to experience this famine, this calamity, this tragedy in the land, it's not that they was without warning. God always sends a warning before he rides. Amen. So the expression "day of the Lord" first appeared in the prophecy of Amos, but it did not originate with Amos. Amos was correcting a popular misunderstanding that the Israelites already had. And can I be real? It's really an ideology that we have today in the modern church. They believe, such as many people do today, they believe that the day of the Lord would be a joyous day of salvation, when God would intervene in the world to judge Israel's enemies and reestablish Israelite rule over all of Greater Canaan. See, when you say something like, "Oh, here comes the day of the Lord," if you don't know your word, you can get excited. Amen. I can't wait for the day of the Lord. You better. But because he's not coming in peace. You understand what I'm saying to you? See, it's this ain't a, "Oh, that great day. I can't wait." Amos warned them that the day of the Lord would not be light for them, but darkness, for they were in rebellion against the Lord. Self-confident Israelites. See, they assumed that God was always on their side. But their sins had in fact made them God's enemies, and they deserved his full punishment. See, we got some people out here in the world that claim Christianity, right? And you can't tell them that God ain't on their side. You can't tell them that no matter what it is that they're out here doing, God is not displeased with them. In fact, this is why we got to be careful, see, of spiritual gangbanging. What are you talking about, Pastor? When I got out of prison, I didn't want to be a part of a denomination. Because to me, you know, I come from the streets. So when you split up the Baptist And then when you split up the Presbyterians, and then you split up the Apostolic, and then you split up the Pentecostals, and then you got the Apostolic Pentecostals, that's a whole other thing altogether. Then you got the Hebrew Israelites, and you got all of this, right? And don't nobody like each other. Under the guise of Jesus, the devil is a lie. And when I learned about all of this coming out of prison, I said, this is gangbanging, just spiritual. Spiritual gangbanging. We don't like the women if they wear pants. We don't believe they saved if they got on earrings. Huh? I remember, and I ain't picking on the Baptist, but I remember one time this Baptist preacher said, I really want you to come preach at my church, but you don't act right. He said, you don't act right. And I said, sir, because, you know, he was a little older and I had much respect for him. He said, you'll have the women all in the pulpit and you know, y'all get to speak it in tongues and all that. I said, yeah, that comes with it. It's Holy Ghost I hold. That comes with it. Yeah. And so he never invited me to his church. And every time he sees me, my wife will tell you, this is the truth. Every time he sees me, he lets me know why. You got to tell me you ain't going to speak in tongues. Brother, I can't promise that. I don't know how the Spirit going to hit. What did they say in the book of Acts? Should I obey you or should I obey man? Which should I be out to please? You see what I'm saying? So if the Spirit of the Lord hits and I begin to I begin to utter in tongue, you mean I'm supposed to go, they don't do it here. No, Lord, I got to deny you. And here's the hit. I don't care if you speak in tongues or not. That's not my business. I don't care if women are in your pulpits or not. That's not my business. In fact, I have made up in my mind that if it is not a salvation issue, I don't have time to even discuss it. Because the only thing that I'm concerned with is if your doctrine has you in danger of missing salvation. That's the only thing I'm concerned with. Other than that, praise the Lord. Preach Jesus. Let's get it. You understand what I'm saying to you? Dance in church, but I ain't knocking those that do. You understand what I'm saying to you? I don't believe God gonna say, you was down there dancing, giving me praise, you can't get in. I don't believe that. I don't believe he going to say, you wasn't dancing, giving me praise, you can't make it in. My salvation, your salvation is not predicated upon that. Amen? You know that there's people that thought that God is always on their side. Remember when Jesus, the guys that walked up to Jesus and they said, we have prophesied in your name. We have healed in your name. We have raised the dead in your name. And what did Jesus say? Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Listen, he was talking to some people that thought they were good with him. God, I hear you, Holy Spirit. Can I just go ahead and share this with you? There's some people, you got to be careful that you don't think you're so smooth that you can even play the Holy Spirit. In other words, I'm doing all of these things under the name of Christ, but I really ain't with Christ. But since they brought about specific results, I should be good with him when I see him. It don't work that way. There has to be change in your heart. Huh? A little over a century after Amos, another prophet by the name of Zephaniah said very similar things to the people of Judah concerning the day of the Lord. It also became a theme that some called simply that day. That day. So you've heard preachers, I'm going to show you, I'm going to correct some theology. So you've heard preachers say that great getting up morning and everybody gets excited because they think that that's that day that it's all sweet. But it ain't. It's the day you have to have a conversation with God about what you was on while you was in the earth realm, despite the fact that you came to church. Joel saw the plague as a sign that the day of the Lord was near, and that God was judging the people of Judah and Jerusalem for their sins. And their only proper response was to gather in the temple and repent. He calls for a national lament, urging everyone, elders, drunkards, priests, and people to fast, mourn, and gather a solemn assembly to call on God for mercy. As the disaster affects all aspects of life and worship. So he even calls in verse 16 of chapter 1 of Joel, he even, get this, he even calls the newlyweds. Why is that a big deal? Because in that day, in that culture, in that time, it was customary that once you got married, you stayed, you, the husband and the wife, stayed in your home for 1 year. You didn't work. And you got to know one another, not just intimately, but you know, I get to know your mind. I get to know who you are. You get to know who I am. Why is that important? So when hell comes up against us, we have spent the proper amount of time that we are not easily broken. You see what I'm saying? So even in this, he says, even the newlyweds, bring them out. Meet at the temple. We need to repent. It's a call to repentance, warning that this plague is a sign of God's displeasure, with the hope that turning back to him, back to God, would bring restoration. You know, I look at the world around us today, and I can't help but believe that that day, or the day of the Lord, is near. Just like in the days of Joel, this nation has rebelled. It's rebelled against God in so many ways, on so many different levels, and they are not afraid of God's judgment, but they will be. They will be. You got people all over social media, straight up, in our face, dogging us. Can I just go ahead and say something? I know this is going to get me in trouble. T.I. is not the authority over the church. Somebody who ain't saved don't get to call what's right in the church just because they see some things that could be out of order. Brother, get your lifestyle together before you come talk about ours. And here's the thing with this. So I'm going to show you how he uses this demonic influence. He takes somebody that's very popular. They shoot shots at the church. And then people who just have a problem with accountability to God's word, they all jump behind him and say, that's right. No, that's wrong. And you are too. Just go ahead and say it. I don't like to be accountable. Held accountable to a higher standard than the standard that I've made for myself. Some theologians call it arrested development. It's when you begin to be so high and mighty and lofty in your mind because of your financial makeup that all of a sudden you don't need God no more. And he goes on to say, I don't need God. I don't need to be in church to have a relationship with God. Sure you do. That's why you're still getting high. Sure you do. That's why you're still cheating on your wife. Sure you do. That's why you still have profanity running all through your music, pushing young kids to pick up guns and kill one another and be all about the bag. Sure you do need to be in church because somebody needs to be saying something godly to you because your team most definitely ain't doing it. Do you hear me today? Yeah. And it's such a demonic influence that even the Christians will jump on board. I know, that's right. I know. I don't know how many of you saw the interview. He said, all the Christians are about, all the pastors want is money. All of us? You met all of us. All the pastors want is all that the pastors want, all they want is money. You met all of us? Because I ain't seen you, bruh. I got pastor colleagues. We ain't seen you, bruh. So how can you say that's what we all about? Have you been here? Do it look like we balling out of control? Huh? But when you're a carnal Christian, when you're a babe, you sit back and you look. And so what I call a carnal and a babe is the Christians that don't come to church, but they swear they saved. And they sit back and say, that's why I don't go to church, because all they want is my money. You ain't got no money. Burger King wants your money. We want your soul. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. But why do they say things like that? They justify why they don't come to church. Because the reality is there is a standard in most churches. There is a standard, the standard of Jesus. And if you're not going to live by that standard, you feel some type of way. You ever been in a situation where you was dead wrong and everybody around you was right? You ever been around a situation where everybody really loved God, but you know you kind of lightweight tripping? It make you feel some type of way, don't it? It make you want to get up and get on out of there. Can I just go ahead and be transparent with y'all? I remember being a pastor and being a mess. And all my friends, God has a horrible sense of humor. All of my friends was about that life. They was about Jesus for real, right? And we would go and hook up and meet and talk and pray. And I felt so out of bounds. And I would come back and say, they think they better than everybody. No, they didn't. But my hypocrisy, you see, that's why I preach so hard against sin now, because I understand how your hypocrisy can have your mind so miswired and mis, you know what I'm saying? You just be, so then everybody holy, you got a problem with them. You got a problem with everybody holy. Huh? But you don't really have a problem with everybody holy. You know who you got a problem with? You got a problem with yourself, amen? All right, let me get to this. We're almost done, I promise. So I want you to catch this. I look at today's earthen church and there is so much foolishness and so much rebellion. And we know that the Lord can't be pleased with a lot of these churches. And while I can't concern myself with every church in the world, I can and do concern myself with Growth Temple. And it is my earnest desire to see every one of you, everyone who is connected to our ministry, be in right alignment with God. And I don't know, call me crazy, but I just truly believe that if our church would get all the way serious about the things of God in our lives, then he would heal our land. In fact, in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse number 14, it says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin, watch this, and heal their land. Growth Temple, I declare that we are a people, we are his people, we are God's people, and I truly believe that we, meaning everyone connected to this ministry, is called by his name. When referring back to the promise in 2 Chronicles 7 and 14, you see how this promise refers to you and to me today. God speaks of my people who are called by my name. The literal Hebrew translation is my people upon whom my name is called. God's people are those upon whom his name is called. If you are a Christian, what does that mean? It means that the name of Christ is called upon you. You are associated, Lord have mercy, with the name of Jesus. You are identified as a Christian by the name of Christ. And there's no other name. I know. Lord have mercy. So this promise applies to Christians, God's people upon whom the name of Christ is called. And he promises that if we would humble ourselves, pray and seek his face and turn from our wicked ways, that he would hear us and he would forgive us and he would heal our land. And some of you might be saying, but I ain't sick. Let me tell you something, beloved. If you are doing anything that is contrary to God on a continual basis, then you sick, sin sick, and you are in need of healing. But the verse says that he will heal our land. Well, if we go back and read Joel chapter 1 and part of chapter 2, it talks about how the land had been attacked and cursed. So that produced a famine, which because since the land was under attack, there was no way for the crops to grow. And so there was a shortage or a shortage of food or a famine. And some of you want to catch this. You may call yourself a Christian, but for some reason, it seems like every time you turn around, something else is happening that's going to have to deal with your money. You may have a good job, good income coming in, and yet you can't seem to save two nickels to put together. Even with the good job, it feels like you're living from paycheck to paycheck. Beloved, that ain't always Satan. That ain't always Satan. It could be an indication that your land, your finances are cursed. Are you faithful in your giving to the church, to God's house? Do you tithe properly? What are you doing that is not in accordance with God's holy word? And don't you think that you have? Don't you think that you can tithe and still be hellish, and your land won't end up cursed? God was after Judah and Jerusalem not because they wasn't tithing, but because they were rebellious to Him. They were out of alignment with Him. They were knowingly out of alignment with Him. You understand? So you can do all of what the church calls for and still be headed to hell if you're not doing all that God calls for. Amen? Every now and again, it would be wise to ask yourself, am I in right alignment with God? In fact, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 11 and 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. Growth Temple, it's time to judge ourselves. It's time to take inventory of self. So during this fast, we are able to embark on. You understand what I'm saying to you? What we'll be able to embark on will change your life. It is vitally important, watch this, that you recognize the sin in your life. You got to recognize it. Listen, if you don't hear enough, don't act like it don't exist if you know what's in you. Paul was so jacked up. He said, I find myself doing the things that I don't want to do and the things that I want to do, the things that I know that I should do, I don't do those things. He said, so I'm come to realize it's the sin. And get this, he says, that still lives in me. Paul was saying, listen, as holy as I am, as righteous as I am, Paul was saying, as much as I pray, as much as I fast, I find there is still some sin still in me. Huh? So we have to, sometimes you have to have a spiritual audit to make sure all the numbers is right. Amen? And when you recognize sin in your life, don't try to justify it. Don't try to normalize it. Well, everybody else is doing it. Don't catch a chip about it. Amen. We've visited churches and God has had me preaching a message of rebuke. And I walked out of churches and literally people walked up to me and go, I didn't like what you was preaching in there. You remember that? And I'm over here looking at that guy like, you see my armor bearer 6'8 and 260? This is real talk. We were literally at a church and God had me just give the church the business, all the smoke. You know what I'm saying? And that brother was waiting for me. When we came out the side door, it was me and my wife and my armor bearer. And he said, I don't like what you was preaching in there. And I said, okay, man. Well, I'm sorry to hear that, man. No, I don't think you understand what I'm saying. I said, I don't think you understand what's going to happen. Miriam, go on, get in the car. Jarrell going to bring me home. Yeah. People will dislike you for the gospel. The gospel is offensive. When you think about the cross, we ain't got time to be cute. Amen. People will dislike you for the gospel. So today, before the fast begins, it would be wise to write down every area about you that you know is not in according to God or His word. Write it down. Be brutally honest with yourself about you. See, because you know you. You know the truth about you. And it is a disservice a disservice to God, to yourself, and to your family if you know that there are some jacked up things about you that you refuse to get together. That means that people that are connected to you have to stay connected to your mess. So guess what? When they see you, they never see the best you. Lord have mercy. They only see what you was willing to give up. God. Write it down. Be brutally honest with yourself about you. This is, and I want you to catch this. This isn't about how messed up your husband or your wife is. This part of the fast is about you. About you being determined to operate in the mind of Christ. Yes, you fast about your spouses and your children and family members and coworkers, but you don't fast about them wanting God to make them the way you think they should be. That's manipulation. No, you fast about them asking that God's will is done in their lives. See, that's the perfect prayer when praying for others. God, let your will be done in their lives. Why is that the perfect prayer? Because I might pray for healing for somebody that's sick and they get healed, but then they just sitting back in agony for the next 5 years. No, God. I don't want what I want. I want what you want for who I love. You understand? And so, because nothing is more important, is more perfect than God's will. Now, before we get into our altar call, let's read this chapter 2 of 14 verses and we out, right? It said, Joel said, sound the alarm, sound the trumpet in Jerusalem. Raise the alarm on my holy mountain. Let everyone tremble in fear because the day of the Lord is upon us. It is a day of darkness and gloom, a day of thick clouds and deep blackness. Suddenly, like the dawn spreading across the mountains, a great and mighty army appears, nothing like it has ever been seen before or will ever be seen again. Fires burn in front of them and flames follow after them. Ahead of them, the land lies as beautiful as the Garden of Eden. Behind them is nothing but desolation. Not one thing escapes. They look like horses. They charge forward like war horses. Look at them. They leap along the mountaintops. Listen to the noise they make, like the rumbling of chariots, like the roar of fire sweeping across a field of stubble, or like a mighty army moving into battle. Mind you, we're just talking about locusts. Fear grips all the people. Every face grows pale with terror. The attackers march like warriors, then scale city walls like soldiers. Straight forward they march, never breaking rank. They never jostle each other. Each moves in exactly the right position. They break through defenses without missing a step. See, some of you are trying to figure out, why is it, no matter how much praying I'm doing, No matter how much worship music is playing in my car, why is the attack still getting past my defense? Because, beloved, you, Lord have mercy, don't tell me to not watch. Listen, don't tell me don't watch the scary movie when scary movies is all in my house. So some of you are trying to figure out why you're dealing with demonology and all of that in your crib, but you got a gang of scary movies in your crowd, in your house, that don't talk about nothing but demonic activity. So what is it that's happening that it's getting past my defense? They break through defenses without missing a step. When it says without missing a step, after it dog walks you, it goes on to dog walk what's yours. Lord have mercy. They swarm over the city, verse number 9. They swarm over the city and run along its walls. They enter all the houses, climbing like thieves through the windows. The earthquakes as they advance, and the heavens tremble. The sun and moon grow dark, and the stars no longer shine. The Lord is at the head of the column. You see that? You thought it was the enemy. You thought it was something. You thought it was somebody. You thought it was the haters. Look at number 11. The Lord is at the head of the column. He leads them with a shout. This is his mighty army, and they follow his orders. The day of the Lord is awesome. is an awesome, terrible thing, who can possibly survive? That is why the Lord says, verse number 12, turn to me now while there is time. While there is time, turn to me now. Give me your hearts. Come with fasting, weeping, and mourning. Don't tear your clothes in your grief, but tear your hearts instead. You know, back in the day when calamity was happening, they would rent their clothes. You know, they go, ah, you know how like Michael Jackson used to do, ah, and they would tear their clothes off, right? He said, God says, I'm not concerned with you tearing off your clothes. I want you to tear off your heart. Don't tear your clothing in your grief, but tear your hearts instead. Return to the Lord your God, for he is merciful and compassionate, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. He is eager to relent and not punish. Who knows? Perhaps he will give you a reprieve, sending you a blessing instead of this curse. Perhaps you will be able to offer grain and wine to the Lord your God as before. Because while we're in this place of sin, God say, I don't want nothing that you offer me. I'm turning down all your sacrifices. Don't burn incense on my behalf. I'm not fooling with you until you get it right. And I want you to catch this. And it says in 13, return to the Lord your God, for he is merciful and compassionate, slow to get angry. Listen, and some of us think because he ain't checked us yet that he ain't going to check us.
Come on.
But the reality is he wills that no man shall perish. He doesn't want to see anybody destroyed. He doesn't want to see anybody having to go to hell. So it's not that he's tripping on his promise. It's not that he's just talking smoke and ain't about that life. No, he's about the life of loving you. And he's giving you this opportunity. But I believe this, beloved, for all of you sitting here and all of our digital disciples, I believe this wholeheartedly. For Growth Temple Ministry, time is running out. You don't get these lessons. You don't get all of these teachings and keep getting to be the same. With these teachings, with these lessons, comes kingdom expectation. And God, in this season, Lord have mercy, I truly believe that the day of the Lord is near. The day of the Lord is near. And it's time. It's time to operate accordingly. Amen. So with this fast, write down, spend the day writing down, what do I need to change? What do I need to lay on the altar? What is stopping me from being the best me? The me that God created me to be. See, there was a time in my life where I had to come to this decision. I was sitting in my man cave, man. Real talk. I was sitting in my cave. And I had just blew up in the crib again. I had just said all I had to say. And my family was sitting there. And they did not know what to do. They didn't know what to do. My armor bearer was sitting around and he didn't know what to do. People who loved me was watching me just crumble. Was watching me lose. Some of you in the church saw it. Especially those of you that's been with me for years, you saw it. And your heart, it crumbled. And there was a night that we had a service here. And Pastor Thomas Jarber was here. And he laid hands on. But before what y'all don't know is before we came out, he said, I love you so much. I said, I love you. He says, but I got to say something to you. And I said, okay. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. I trust whatever you're talking about. He said, God said you're going to die if you don't shift this thing around. God said, he didn't release you from prison, spending the rest of your life in prison for you to be out here like this. You have experienced what's called accelerated growth. You have gotten into a place in years, in a couple of years, that most pastors never get to in a lifetime. And you're throwing it all away. You remember that, Kevin? Sitting right in my office. And I wept. I sat in that office and I wept and I came out. And we came down and the service was over and it was altar call. And he laid hands on us. Oh, Miriam and I. And I remember going down. I remember hitting the ground. And here's what blew my mind. There was a young woman that went to this church back then by the name of Algeria. And she was standing over me. And tears was falling down her face on top of me. And this was her prayer. God, help him. Help him, God. We need him. God, we need him. Please, and tears was just falling from her face onto mine. Please, God, help him. And then she moved over on her knees to Miriam. Help her. Help her, God. Help her with him. Help her. And it was life-changing. I began to understand that God had called me for such a time as this. He called me for all of the gang violence that's in the streets. He called me to play a part in strippers coming out of those strip clubs and prostitutes coming off limestone. He called me to be a warrior for the kingdom of God. And I went home and I sat in my cave and I wept. I couldn't even talk to my wife that night, and I wept and I wept and I wept. I came out and I said, he gets no more wins over me. No more. No more wins over me. Now we have some knockdown drag outs. You understand what I'm saying to you? There is times where I feel like I am on the ground and Satan is just kicking the life out of me. But he don't win. There's sometimes that I stagger, fall, and have to grab onto something to get back up, but he don't win. And this life, I want you to understand, this life is not easy. It is not for the faint at heart. This life will never be everything that you need it to be until you are 100% in. And if you are part of this ministry, those that's online, those that's on the live, those that's in here, that if you are a part of this ministry, you was never born to be average. You was never born just to be a Christian in word, but not in deed. You were called to operate supernaturally. And that's why it's hard sometimes. Because the call, the kingdom expectation calls for so much to be let go and released. And it gets hard. And sometimes we feel like we can't measure up. Guess what? You can't. But that's not what you're called to do. You're just called to pursue. You're called to pursue God. And as long as you are pursuing God, one thing that you can't pursue is unrighteousness. That's why I'm on you the way that I am. Some of you come near me and get close to me and you see the gold teeth and the tattoos and you think it's all sweet, and then you find out, for God I live, for God I die. Many people come to this ministry because they figure by the way that I look that he's down for whatever. Then they find out I'm quick to be in your business. I'm quick to call you out. Not because I'm holier than. Not because I feel like I'm better than or I'm your, in authority of you. But because I love you. Because I love you. Come here. All of you. Lily, tell Children's Church to come down here. right now. Tell them stop everything. Come down here right now. All of you teenagers, come down here. Let's go. Come on over. Tell them hurry up. Simon, I want you to think about your children. These little ones. Let's go. Come on down here. Come on. Come on. Yeah. I love it, baby. Did you see her? She just took off. She just took off. Come on down here. Come on down here. Let's go. All y'all. Let's go. You ain't in trouble. Come on. Come on. They like, pastor's calling. We might be in trouble. Hallelujah. Come on. Come on down here. All these kids. All the kids. Come on down here. Let's go. Woo. Hallelujah. Come on, y'all. Come on inside. You ain't got to all stand over there. Y'all come on inside. Some of you. If you're online, if you're on the live and you are watching, I want you to grab your children. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's a beautiful family. Hallelujah. 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 You see that? Did you see that? Did you see how she walked by? No fear, no nothing. I'm in the house of the Lord. I'm good. Don't know this giant man standing next to me, but I'm good. Now, the reason that I bring them down is because for those of you, which I believe is everybody, that's going to be fasting. Those that's online and that's on the live that isn't here today is going to be fasting. We have over, I think, like 30-something people that are fasting with us. Amen. This right here relies on your fast. They rely on you being spiritually fit. being spiritually fit, because why? You have to teach them. You've got to be so spiritually in alignment with God that you have the ability to teach them. Simon, is it all right if I pray with your kids down here? You okay with that? No disrespect to you, ma'am. No. Heavenly Father, come and nigh. Bring me all that can wait. Lily, you have a seat. This is for the babies. Ooh, hands like this. Everybody, hands like this. Heavenly Father, right now, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I come here today, God, and I ask you, Lord, to bless every child, every teenager that is at this altar. God, bless them to have a kingdom expectation of their parents, to have a kingdom expectation of their spiritual leaders and mentors, that every time that they see their mentors, their parents, that they should see Jesus. God, right now, in the name of Jesus, I speak supernatural victory over all of their lives. Over all of their lives, I speak, decree, and declare victory. I decree and declare that none of these children will ever be addicted to drugs. None of these children will ever go to jail. None of these children will ever go to prison. I decree and declare, ain't a baby mama at this altar. There will be no baby mamas at this altar. There will be no baby daddies in this altar. At this altar right now, I speak, decree, and declare. Husbands, I speak, decree, and declare. Wives, I speak, decree, and declare. Productive members of society, Jesus walkers, water walkers, life changers. I speak victory, supernatural victory over each and every one of them. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Satan, you don't have your way with any of these babies. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Now go ahead and have a seat. Go ahead and have a seat.
That's what you're fasting for. Those are who you're fasting for. If he wants to stay, he can stay. He might be called to this. Amen. He might be called to this. Hallelujah. So listen, this is going to be, these next 3 days are going to be three of the toughest days of your life. Today, we are going to start a GroupMe app. All of you that are fasting, your names will be on it, added to it. If you don't have, if you're not on the GroupMe app by 5, text me, say, hey, I ain't on the app. Okay? That app is for encouragement. When it gets hard, when it gets hard, when it's fast, and it's going to get hard. But guess what? It's supposed to hurt. It's hurting because the flesh is dying. There's never been a murder that felt good. Nobody was ever, the old man is dying and it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt. But the more that you hurt, you are humbling yourself before the mighty hand of God. You are humbling yourself to say, I know that the things that our church and that we're going through personally, and I'm going through personally in my life, I'm not strong enough to do anything about it, but I am consecrating my flesh. I am setting apart my flesh. I am disciplining. I'm dying to my flesh. And I'm telling you that I believe in you through this fast. I'm telling you that I'm leaning on you through this fast. I'm telling you that I know that without you, nothing is impossible. Nothing is possible, but with you, everything is possible. That's what this fast is about. So, for those of you who are mature saints, used to fasting, that are used to fasting, water only. Water only. Amen. For those of you that are not used to fasting, but you want to complete this thing, fruits and vegetables and water only. Starting midnight, Monday morning. In other words, when 11:59 strikes into 12 tonight, we're fasting. Don't wake up talking about, I'm going to do this for 8, get this last egg in before 8. No, ain't none of that. Midnight, fasting. Midnight tonight, going into Monday. Midnight going into Monday. 3 nights. We break it here at the church. Amen. There will be instruction on how we're going to break the fast. I'm going to just go ahead and make it real easy for everybody. Bring your own food. It works perfectly fine. Bring your own food. We break the fast. That way everybody ain't got to sit around. We trying to decide who going to bring what, who going to cook what. No. Get you a chicken box, something like that, whatever. Bring it to the thing. After we break the fast, then we go down here and we eat together. Amen. We pray and we eat together. We pray in the new year and together. And then we go down to the youth room and we break the fast together. That's what we're doing. Amen. Stand to your feet. Let's get you out of here. If there's anybody in the building that desires